Hi. I'm trying to arrive in the spirit too, because so much emotion is waving in me in this moment, and I'm so touched by your presence and by this huge respect, acceptance, love that you face to me in this moment. I wanted to tell you a short introduction about Thanksgiving, about our Thanksgiving, when we stop for a while in the rush of the life and we look inside, we look back in our life, and maybe this is because we say we celebrate our Thanksgiving as a religious holiday. We bring it into the church and we give thanks for everything we have, because we think that it's not, of course, many thanks are because of us, but the life itself and all those blessings and goodness and beauty in this world comes from a higher power to which we give thanks at the end of September. And at this part of the year, because in the nature, at least or within those geographical conditions, is the harvest time, of course, and the nature helps us to remind that we were created and we are the one who are in the hands of someone greater. A couple of months ago, when I got the invitation email from your minister, Reverend Eric Wickstrom, I was very excited and enthusiastic about this opportunity to talk to you. And I remembered from my Berkeley year experience that getting together with the UUs has always been provocative for my faith, and like this had a hidden outcome too. Being with you, Unitarian Universalists, is provocative because I see so many differences between our religious lives. And usually the unexpected outcome is relevant and conclusive. If we invest into each other enough time and curiosity and openness, and let ourselves to go deeper into the other's tradition, we realize that we have much more common on our human ground than the religion could ever disrupt. So I was very pleased with the person of invitation topic too, and I thought I was ready to come. Then came August and September with all those news about the migrants who fled Hungary and Europe, and I became more and more anxious. And my answers to the question, what does it mean to be a person of invitation, seemed to shift a little bit in me. The short biblical text I read from Matthew describes how the Master of Nazareth calls one of his disciples. He simply goes by him and says, "Follow me." Is it really that easy? I wonder. As I was thinking about the characteristics and synonyms of a person of invitation, there's notions came to my mind. Openness for understanding, curiosity, readiness, and willingness to be involved in something new. But above all, maybe the most important is mutuality. Mutuality. You and me and you, us, together, we. We get all different kinds of invitation during our lives through which we become persons of invitation. But that is just one side of the story. And our responses will be showed through our deeds, what we answer to the invitation. Matthew, with many others, stood up and followed Jesus. There were all kinds of people, hard workers and intellectuals, vulnerable, sick, naked, underprivileged and oppressed men and women. Most of them at the time were called sinners. And Jesus' invitation went for them too. He invited everybody into his world, where the creator and caregiver is love, where the creator and caregiver is the love itself. This tender attitude confused the contemporary religious leaders, and they didn't understand this rebellious attitude. As I look back to our Unitarian and Unitarian Universalist history, I find many similarities with Jesus. We Unitarians from Transylvania, just like you, and just like every religion and church in this world, are deeply embodied into a particular history and society. We cannot understand our personal and community dynamic without knowing the environment, why we are as we are, what kind of inner, personal, spiritual needs motivate our deeds, and how we change through the time. As most of you may know it, we Unitarians in Transylvania, Romania, we are living in a double minority, national as Hungarians and liberal religious and Unitarians. But it wasn't always like this. In 1568, when the Diet from Torda, Transylvania, for the very first time in history proclaimed that everybody can practice that religion which corresponds to her or his beliefs, because the faith is the gift of God. As Francis David, our church founder and first bishop, said, then the majority of Transylvania's population has heard his invitation to the free choice and became Unitarian. But later on, during the recatholization in the 70th and 80th centuries of religious intolerance, and during the 20th century of the communism, oppressed our churches. And as we never were a missionary church, we lost the majority of our congregants. Today, about 5-6% of the Hungarians in Transylvania are Unitarians. In those centuries, we confronted the difficult and strange forces and issues, and because of that, issues like national identity and national values become very important for us. Being Hungarian and Unitarian in Transylvania for a very long time meant to be part of a progressive church and a religion of the future. Yet, in the 1940s, the world-famous composer and ethnomusicologist Béla Bartók, who chose the Unitarian faith in his adulthood, wrote this about it. The sorrier thing for the Hungarians is that the single Hungarian-funded church, the Unitarian one, which was born in Transylvania in the 16th century, and which, with its humanism, religious freedom, and progressive thinking, could be significant, it was always a string in the other Christian denominations' eye. We can feel this even today. Because of their small number, a lot of people don't know them, and the occasional news is accepted with strangeness and doubt. Yes, many times today too, we are afraid as a community. And just like in our personal life, when we are invited into something very new, different from us, the first reaction is one step back. Because it's easy to accept the similar, to say yes for something familiar, you know. It's easy to love the gentle, the peaceful. But what to say to the very different? And the real measurement of our faith comes in difficult times, when we face the very different one. We are Christians and liberal religious, and these notions so far are not complementary, but contradictory ones. Our theological language and religious rituals are deeply rooted in Christianity, and for those people who approach us, this can be easily confusing. Because it is not unambiguous either what it means to be Christian or Christianity. Our main goal is to go back to the clear sources, that is, Jesus' teachings and example. To understand the prophet and the word where the words and the tradition had the same meaning for everybody. When he says, "I desire compassion and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous but sinners," everybody understands and gets afraid of him because he gets power, becomes very popular. Today, when it comes to compassion, we find pasterns, small back doors. We like to believe that we are a welcoming and loving community, but the experience shows that the idea of universal love and compassion, both personal and community level, is quite unreachable. And of course, this doesn't mean that we don't have to talk about it and work for it even more. Exactly, that's the reason why we have to stand up in the name and for the universal love, because it seems unreachable, because it seems the perfect, what we are not. We just have to be aware of the fact that we can't absolutize and put one unconditional value at the expense of all others, and to choose right in every situation. Today, at the threshold of the 21st century, the Western world is a low contextual society, which means that we have to redefine our words and notions in order to understand the same meaning thing by them. If we do so, we can use our traditional words with more content and less fear that we will be misunderstood. Jesus' invitation is waiting for us, not to follow him, but to follow what he's been following, the eternal love of God. One of the most powerful experiences at Starking I had was when I was asked not to mention the name of God in a church. I'm not sure why it was such an important request for the person, but I believe that my God, my eternal spirit, our all-powerful power, however I call it, exists even if I'm not speaking about it. And this power, this God, manifests itself every day, in every second, in the beauty of the world, in our relationships, in the goodness of the other persons, everywhere. It pulses around us. As a person, a woman, a minister, I believe that my Creator has invited me into this amazing world with a specific goal. Maybe that was the only invitation with no choice, but his or her wish. By the way, do you really think that God has a gender? Anyhow, it's easier to express myself in a gender-free language, like Hungarian. The spirit or power of life invited us into the life and thereby set us within special conditions. I think the hardest mission is to find that middle path, that tiny border between variable and the unchangeable. For example, it seems so obvious that we can choose where we would like to live. Whether is it really only a coincidence where, in which country and continent we were born in, and what body, and which family, what age and social environment, or to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. We may would like to redefine our world and our words and change the rules, but don't forget that every change starts within you, within us, in our soul and spirit. And our deeds are our answers. There is a story, you may have heard about it, about a wanderer traveler who meets a peasant working on his field and starts to ask him about the next village, how the inhabitants are. And the peasant asks back, how were the last village's people? And the traveler starts to complain. They were rude brawlers, crappy, unhappy people. It wasn't good to be with them at all. I have a bad news. The same settlement, the next settlement is the same too. Later on, another wanderer comes by and asks the same. How are the residents of the next village? And the fellow asks back again. How are the last ones, people? And the traveler happily tells, oh, they are joyful, helpful, warm-hearted, and nice people who welcome the strangers too. I felt sorry to leave them. And the answer comes, don't worry, the next village is the same too. So, wherever we go, whoever we are, the invited, the invitee, or the ones who invite, we live what we carry. That is why it's so important what we believe about ourselves, about who we are, about our missions, life, and world. We Transylvanians, Hungarian Unitarians, are a community of invitation. We are very proud to be invited through the Partner Church movement by your Unitarian Universalist community into a larger religious world with many more aspects. We hold and treasure this relationship. Meanwhile, we believe that we not necessarily have to have the same priorities in our lives. The principle of semper reformanda, that is the eternal renewing according to the needs of times, it is a very important one. It is time to decide how we are reacting to the needs of the 21st century. That is the progress where people, with their intellectual, spiritual need possibilities, create blossoming. And only this can be our path. May it be, blessed be.